Get ready for my top 10 super fundamentalist church in the 90s auto tunes. Here we go.
Number 10. At my super fundamentalist Christian church, we had our own language. Like the word charismatic didn't mean charming. It meant how high is the level of crazy at a church, like speaking in tongues. And if we agreed with someone's theology, we would say they were right on. Or if we didn't, they were not right on. And if you were falling away from God, we would say you're backsliding or backslidden. And I don't even think that's a word. We just made it up. So to put it all together, you'd be like, hey, Roger is from that really charismatic church. Is he right on? And you'd say, yeah, they are very charismatic, but he's pretty right on. However, I saw Janet at the mall, and she was buying secular music. So I think that maybe Janet is backslidden. Number 9. Every Sunday in my super fundamentalist Christian church, they would do this thing called an altar call, where at the end of the service, it would get really emotional. And they would be like, if you don't know beyond the shadow of a doubt, or you're not 100% certain, you need to come down here and get saved. And this shows how neurotic I am, because pretty much every week I'm like, I'm not 100%. So I would go down there to get saved like a couple times a month. And at first the pastor was like, Kevin, you got saved last week. And I would be like, not beyond the shadow of a doubt, Pastor Dave. And looking back, I realized there was something really gratifying about getting up and walking down the aisle and maybe crying. And now I realized that I was addicted to getting saved. Number 8. In my super fundamentalist church, I played in a Christian rock band. And one time we had to borrow this guy's keyboard, and this guy was not a Christian. And our keyboard player didn't know that until after the show. He found out he had been playing a heathen keyboard. Literally just a keyboard that was owned by someone who was not a Christian. And he was so upset. We had to have this big Christian band meeting about if it was a sin or not to use the heathen keyboard. Number 7. In my super fundamentalist church, sometimes we would do a foot washing. Apparently in the Bible, Jesus washed people's feet. So we would gather in our church basement with no ventilation and take off our socks and shoes and wash each other's feet. And I could tell one time I was about to get paired up with Brother Chuck. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a good Christian and wash Brother Chuck's feet. And I sat down and he had super weird toenails. And to my horror, they slid over a tub of dirty foot water. And if you are thinking to yourself, no one would actually do that, then obviously you didn't go to a super fundamentalist church in the 90s. Number 6. When I was in high school, there was a movie theater that showed dollar movies like RoboCop and Turner and Hooch. But on the weekend, they had punk bands, and they showed the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I wanted to go so bad, but that was not allowed in my super fundamentalist Christian church. So I started going anyway, and eventually got caught by my church. And I said, the Lord has called me there to minister to people who like Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I totally got away with it for the rest of my high school years. Number 5. In my super fundamentalist church in the 80s, we had these guys come called the Power Team. They were these muscle guys with mullets and tank tops. And they did this show where they like broke bricks with their heads and tore phone books in half. And then were like, Jesus gives me the power. So later that day, I grabbed the phone book and went to my bedroom and took a deep breath and said to myself, Jesus gives me the power, and tried to tear the phone book in half. But all I did was sort of make a weird dent in the pages. And later my mom was like, what happened to the phone book? And I never told her that Jesus did not give me the power to tear the phone book in half. Number four, in my super fundamentalist church, when it was the 90s, we took the youth group on a mission trip to New York City. We were like, you know who needs to be saved? People in New York City. And white suburban teenagers from Indiana are the ones to save them. So we put together this clown ministry where each person dressed up like a clown that represented a different sin. So we had premarital sex clown and like drugs clown. And we went to parks in New York City dressed up like premarital sex clown with candy. And it's like, who exactly was the target audience for this clown ministry? Number three, when I first got to college, I had not accepted that I was gay at all. And I heard about this book that taught you how not to be gay called Coming Out of Homosexuality. So I went to the Christian bookstore, and of course they didn't have it. So I had to order it, and I paid for the book and left. In my first year of college, I was living in a big house full of guys that all went to the super fundamentalist college church. And this isn't really part of the story, but for some reason, each of them had a lot of guns. And so our whole house was just filled with fucking guns. And I guess it made them feel safer. But for me, it did the exact opposite. And back in those days, there was this machine in your house that was called an answering machine. You might not know what that is, but you have to remember it was the 90s. And this machine was sort of like voicemail, but it played the messages out loud. And I got home one day after class, and all the guys were standing in the kitchen, I guess, talking about Jesus with their guns. And someone pressed play on the answering machine, and the message was, "Hi, Kevin. This is Sandy from the Christian bookstore and your book, Coming Out of Homosexuality, has arrived and you can pick that up anytime." And everyone in the kitchen just sort of froze because we all knew if we made eye contact, we were going to have to talk about it. And no one wanted that. So I did read the book and I'm still gay. Number two,
do you listen to Sandy Patty? You might say yes, of course, if you listen to Sandy Patty. Did you know she got a divorce? The year was 1992. And you're a good Christian, what you gonna do? Do you listen to Sandy Patty? Do you listen to Sandy Patty? What the fuck is a Sandy Patty? It's a patty that's Sandy, that sounds gross. But you like Christian music the most. Do you listen to Sandy Patty? Do you listen to Sandy Patty?
Number one. In my super fundamentalist church, we did not speak in tongues, but we were open to the idea of speaking in tongues. And that Sunday morning, I sort of knew I was going to do it because I'm dramatic. And in the middle of the service, I said out loud, "Shamala hamala." And everyone around me was like, "Oh my God, it's happening." And everyone started saying, "Shamala hamala." And I was sort of like, "You guys are just copying what I'm saying." But now we're all crying, saying, "Shamala hamala." And my pastor said it was the language that angels spoke. And I imagined the scene in heaven where the angels were like, "What's up, Jesus? Shamala hamala." It was the 90s. It was the 90s.